All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Rinkwide Vancouver. A dreadful start to the hockey game and a tough start to a three-game road trip as the Canucks imploded in Vegas, falling 6-3 to the Golden Knights. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. We're coming to you from our studio in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel. If you're thinking about wedding space, the Wall Center can meet your every need, from small family gatherings to big, bold weddings and receptions. Consider the Wall Center if you're looking for wedding and reception space. Email them sales@wallcenter.com. And from wedding bells to alarm bells, Jeff Patterson joined on this episode by Irfan Ghaffar. Irf, they call it Sin City for a whole bunch of reasons. I think the Canucks committed just about every sin imaginable when it came to adhering to Rick Tocchet's structure. The system went out the window early as the Stanley Cup champs came at them in waves in that opening period. Canucks, who'd been playing well defensively over the past month, simply could not halt the onslaught.
Yeah, you mentioned the sins in Vegas. They had their bell rung as one of the bells and whistles of the game and everything. It wasn't a good first period, and it didn't continue for the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, you can look at it and pinpoint the refereeing. You can pinpoint it being on, they missed after Demko. You can pinpoint it on the power play. There's a lot that we're going to get into, but all in all, just the effort, I don't think, was there from the very beginning. You mentioned structure. We'll get right into it. But it definitely wasn't a good showing from this Vancouver Canucks team.
And it's easy to say, hey, they needed a save. Well, guess what? They got a save on that Pavel Dorofeyev breakaway. And you thought, like, big play early in the hockey game. Unfortunately, one of the fundamentals for a goaltender is covering the puck. You can stop the puck, but you also got to cover it to get the whistle. And Casey DeSmith made the mistake there. He makes the great save on Dorofeyev. Unfortunately, his teammate's standing around. I guess there's anticipation that the goaltender will ultimately smother the puck, and there was Anthony Mantha there to bang home the rebound a minute and 37 seconds in. So already the Canucks back on their heels, coming off that 9-game homestand out on the road for the first time in basically a month. Their last road game was also at T-Mobile in Vegas. They won that one. They did not win this hockey game. They were the second-best team on the ice, and the Golden Knights looking to prove something. Decent chance that these teams could be on a collision course at some point in the playoffs, even if it's not in the first round. If the Canucks somehow can get out of the first round, maybe in round number two. Whatever the case, the Stanley Cup champs looking like they are rounding into form. They're 9-3-1 now in their last 13 hockey games, and they are making up ground. In fact, with this win over the Canucks, Vegas pulls within 3 points of the Edmonton Oilers for second spot in the Pacific Division. Now, Edmonton's got 2 games in hand on both the Canucks and the Golden Knights, so they've got the schedule, at least number of games remaining, Still working in their favor, but the Canucks stay 5 points in front of Edmonton. The Oilers losing in overtime in St. Louis on Monday night. The Canucks losing in regulation in this one. 6-3 the final, and as I said, it started poorly and it got worse from there. Jonathan Marchessault off the rush, snaps home his 41st of the season. And then, if you're looking for a turning point, I think it came in a 20-second span, sort of against the run of the play. The Canucks were able to settle things down a little bit. And Nils Höglander jamming away at a loose puck, able to chip it in past Logan Thompson, 2-1. And you're thinking, okay, Canucks are on the board. Maybe they can exhale. Well, before they even announced the Höglander goal in the building, Jack Eichel off the rush, just a complete breakdown by the Vancouver Canucks. All five guys on the ice, no chance there for Casey DeSmith. And instead of it being a 2-1 game and the Canucks having a chance to harness some of that momentum, now it's 3-1. And again, the Canucks are reeling and the Golden Knights score a power play goal before the period is out. 4-1. This is a team that didn't give up four in regulation on the homestand, hadn't given up four in regulation since a 5-1 loss to the Los Angeles Kings on the final day of February. So they went the entire month of March without giving up four in regulation. Only Colorado scored four on them, and that was on a power play in overtime midway through that homestand, or early in the homestand. But the Vegas Golden Knights meant business from the drop of the puck here. They scored four in the first period and one more in each of the final two periods to make it a 6-3 final. And for me, yeah, it's the breakdowns, and it was just the fact that Vegas was able to get an extra man, the defenseman jumping up into the right. Like, how many odd man rushes did we see? And ultimately, how many did they convert? So, did they need some saves? Yes. But it's hard to pin it all on Casey DeSmith, because I'm not sure that having Thatcher Demko in there at the top of his game would have made a whole lot of difference. Now, you want to believe that the all-star goaltender, maybe he does come up and you know, show some heroics. Whatever the case, I'm reluctant to pin it all on Casey DeSmith. The guys in front of him had to be better, and let's start with Ian Cole on the ice for the first five Vegas goals of this hockey game.
Yeah, that wasn't a good, it's not a banner night for Ian Cole, and it's one that you're going to have to look at down the stretch here and say Rick Tocchet is going to have to look at his team and say, is Ian Cole in that six-man defensive unit? Is he in there being our best chance to win? Having him in, is it our best chance to win? And it's tough, and on nights like this, when you're playing against good teams, when you're playing your potential first-round opponent, and he's that bad? That one was tough, and it wasn't a good night for really anybody. I mean, obviously, with the Canucks and Nikita Zadorov, obviously, you know, having the penalty and the ejection from the game, that one hurt them as well. But yeah, just not good enough from a guy who's a veteran, who was brought in here to have that, you know, that veteran pedigree, a guy that's won, things like that. He was just a mess back there.
Well, we've seen some load management with Ian Cole, and I'm with you. Noah Juulsen on his 27th birthday was the odd man out on defense. You'd think that he probably draws in Arizona on Wednesday, but I do wonder. My sense is that the way they lined up against a team like the Golden Knights was with what the coaching staff feels is its top six guys, but Ian Cole's had some rough nights, and his play, I think, has dropped off over the course of the season. As a 35-year-old, he hasn't forgotten how to play, and he has intangibles, certainly, with Stanley Cup pedigree. But, yeah, he had a tough night. The second goal, he gets caught on the pinch. And, again, this Vegas team that went off on the counterattack. And then on the power play goal, Zadorov gets called for a phantom high stick on Pietrangelo. And yeah, at some point we'll get back around to the officiating, but I certainly don't want to hammer on the officiating before we talk about, you know, look, bad calls are going to go against you. That's part of the game. And come playoff time, there's going to be adversity. And we've seen a few too many times here of late where it feels like the Canucks wilt when things go against them. But in saying that, like, Zadorov's a big body. So is Pietrangelo. Zadorov finishes a check. Stick does not get up into Pietrangelo's face, and yet Zadorov called for a high stick, and that was the goal that Hanifin scored on, and Ian Cole had a chance to clear. He had the puck on his stick with time and couldn't get it out of the zone, and you know that one came back to haunt them as Hanifin got the one-timer and made no mistake. Good first period for Marchessault, good first period for Jack Eichel. We'll talk about those guys when we get around to the three stars a little bit later on, but yeah, just a really difficult period for Ian Cole, as we said, on the ice for all four of the goals in the first period. In fact, he was on for the Canuck goals. He was on the ice for all five of the goals that were scored in the first period, but he was also on the ice for the William Karlsson goal in the second period. So the first five Vegas goals, Ian Cole out there for the Vancouver Canucks. But it wasn't just Ian Cole. So you know, I mean, when a guy's on the ice for the first five goals, like, it's fair to point that out, but it is a team game and there were others. And you knew with the matchup, and this is, again, the importance of the Canucks winning the Pacific Division is getting home ice advantage so that Rick Tocchet can dictate matchups and get that last change, because we saw it right from the drop of the puck. JT Miller's line started, Miller with Connor Garland and Dakota Joshua, and Bruce Cassidy counters with his fourth line. And that was the chess match, was there. He gets a fourth line out against essentially the Canucks' top line, and you knew there were going to be mismatches, and sure enough, that Jack Eichel line out against Bluger and Lafferty and Arshdeep Bains, and just not a fair fight. Not a fair fight at all. You know, I think in the first period, the shot attempts were 10-1 with Lafferty on the ice, if you use him as a proxy for that line. Tough go for Arshdeep Bains as well, who, I'm sorry, it's a nice story, and the story's not finished here. But for a team that is trying to find its form ahead of the playoffs, I'm not sure that Arshdeep Bains is NHL ready at this point, and I do wonder how much more we see of him as they move forward, and it wouldn't surprise me if he comes out of the lineup as early as Wednesday in Arizona. Again, maybe we're misguided here talking about, you know, a depth call-up guy, but there were a couple of situations certainly where, you know, his game just didn't look at the level of the defending Stanley Cup champs.
No, for sure not. I mean, look, let's be honest here. Steve Baines is probably not in your forward group come playoff time. I mean, you're going to get Lindholm back, and, you know, other guys are going to get into the lineup there as well. But yes, it wasn't a banner night. I mean, he gets caught, and then he tries to kick the puck out, comes back the other way. That one's tough. And then on the other goal, he was just looked lost defensively as soon as that pass was made. I mean, kind of everyone did, but it kind of fell on him a little bit there. So it's a change, right? You go back down to Abbotsford, you play in the AHL for a little bit, then you get called right back up and you play in a couple games, you play against some weaker opponents, and, you know, you win the games, you feel good about yourself. And then you go into that building with a team that has everything to play for, the defending Stanley Cup champions. And as a team collectively, you got slapped in the face in the first period.
Yeah, Canucks have dropped 3 of 4 now. And when you look at that final week of the homestand, lost to the Los Angeles Kings, lost to the Dallas Stars, they struggled to beat the Anaheim Ducks on Sunday, and now they get throttled by the Vegas Golden Knights. So 3 losses to playoff teams and 1 win, and not a terribly impressive win at that, over the Anaheim Ducks on Sunday afternoon. The Canucks remain on 100 points, 46 wins on the season, 21 regulation losses now, and 8 either OTLs or shootout losses. And yeah, I mean, the quick strike offense, we saw it twice from the Golden Knights, the Eichel goal that turned a 2-1 game into a 3-1 game 20 seconds after Hoglander had scored. And then Quinn Hughes with his 2nd of 2 on the night pulls the Canucks within 2 with basically all of the third period to go. And you thought, okay, maybe a chance to make it interesting. And 24 seconds after that, off the rush again, another odd man attack, and this time it was the Golden Knights' 4th line, but executed textbook on a 2-on-1, Kolesar to Howden, and Howden made no mistake. So 24 seconds after Hughes had his 2nd of the night, the Golden Knights round out the scoring. That was it, 6-3. And I mentioned Howden. He was a central figure in a play late in the first period. Nikita Zadorov, who had already been sent off for the high stick, and we said a bad call, phantom call on Zadorov from the high stick, certainly a penalty in the final minute of the first. It's a check up high into the back of Howden. I guess I was surprised that they threw the book at Nikita Zadorov, though. 5 minutes and a game misconduct where, you know, we saw a couple of weeks ago when JT Miller got smoked by Josh Manson with the Colorado Avalanche, and that was a minor penalty. And, you know, there's talk at the time then that it should have been more. And so it's sort of that inconsistency. It's the frustration of never knowing from game to game, you know, what's a penalty, what's it going to be, is it going to be 2, is it going to be 5? And in this case, according to the NHL rulebook, if there's an injury on the play, a boarding major will also include a game misconduct. So that's why Nikita Zadorov got tossed out of this hockey game. This is the first game of back-to-backs for the Vancouver Canucks. So for the final 40 minutes, they're down to 5 defensemen. So artificially inflating the ice time of these guys who are going to have to turn around and play again on Wednesday in Arizona. So that's not ideal. And then you wonder as well, and Carlson scores on the power play, and it looked like, you know, at that point it's 5-1 early in the second period, and you're thinking, like, look out. We've already seen the team hang double digits on the Vancouver Canucks in February when Minnesota, you know, pounced on the power play a whole bunch. And So the Canucks were able to stem the bleeding. Ultimately, they scored two of the last three goals. So, you know, yes, 6-3 is the final. It didn't feel like it was that close. I mean, the Canucks outshot the Golden Knights, too, at the end of the night, 30-29. But this would make no mistake. There was a clear-cut best team on the ice, and it was not the Vancouver Canucks. But what do you make of the Zadorov hit, first of all? And as we record this moments after the game, and we may not know until the light of day, but the Canucks do play on Wednesday. Is he going to hear from the league? He's already been suspended once this year for the high hit on Lucas Raymond. That was a head hit in Detroit right after the All-Star game. So this is a different kind of hit, but it is a player that's been handed supplemental discipline already once this season by the National Hockey League.
Yeah, all the game misconducts are obviously reviewed by the National Hockey League. Jeff, I don't think he's going to get suspended. I think that when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, he basically missed the entire game. Stranger things have happened, right? We've seen guys get suspended for a lot less, mm-hmm. and we've seen guys get not suspended at all for doing way worse than what Nikita Zadorov did. So there's the letter of the law and the Department of Player Safety with the at the NHL is obviously, it depends on, let's see what their mood is when they wake up in the morning and actually look at the play. So it's going to be an interesting one, but, you know, one for the Canucks that if Zadorov is out tomorrow, they're lucky they have, you know, Juulsen or someone else that can step into that lineup. But you'd think if Zadorov is back, it might be, or when Zadorov is back, it's going to be Cole that comes out for Juulsen, if Juulsen does get in the lineup on Wednesday.
Right. So we'll see if the coaching staff has a decision to make or if that decision is made by the National Hockey League. Mark Friedman on the road trip as well, but he's very clearly the eighth defenseman who barely plays, Noah Juulsen. You're right. If the Canucks escape suspension to Zadorov, I would think he'd be fresh and ready to go, and Ian Cole would be the guy that comes out of the lineup for the Vancouver Canucks. All right, we talked about Casey DeSmith a little bit earlier. I do want to double back to his night here because the Canucks hadn't given up six goals in a hockey game since the 10-7 loss to the Minnesota Wild. DeSmith was in goal for that one, gave up eight that afternoon before a couple of empty netters. Here, no empty netters, but he is on the hook for all six. And I think there was some question, maybe at 4-1, was Rick Tocchet going to get the hook out? And I think if he had, that was the point in time that if you wanted to make a goaltending switch just to try to settle things down, to send a message to your team, whatever, you probably could have done it 15 minutes into this hockey game and preserved Casey DeSmith for Wednesday in Arizona and turned to Artur Silov's. But at the same time, like, not fair to Silov's to throw him into, you know, this mess that looked like it was only going to get worse for the Vancouver Canucks. So with the back-to-back games, I think this is always going to be Casey DeSmith's night regardless. You know, that's the job of a backup. He's been through this before. He can process it, but you don't want to see Silov's get absolutely ventilated. And the plan all along had to have been to split these two starts. So I think they stuck with that. Silov's will go against the Arizona Coyotes at Mullet Arena. Now, when I look at DeSmith's night, we talked about the first goal, great save, and then, you know, a little unfortunate because it's a pretty routine play to pull the puck from your stick into your glove, but whoops, he missed that one, and it did kind of feel to me like it set the tone for things that were to come. The other one that I didn't like was the William Karlsson power play goal early in the second period. Yeah, and that went right through him, and it's sitting there in the blue paint, and you know, again, at 4-1, I didn't like the Canucks' chances of coming back, but they still had two periods. We know that they have been able to score goals and generate offense over the season. But yeah, that one felt like the absolute dagger to me. Just you needed some saves along the way. But, you know, look at the other goals. Like Marchessault, the season that he's having, you give him time and space off the rush, and I think he shot it through Zadorov. So, you know, not a whole lot that Casey DeSmith can do there. Eichel, again, it looked like the Golden Knights were just going to pass the puck essentially into the net. A little Harlem Globetrotters there, and then Hanifin on the power play, one-time blast, traffic in front of the net. So I don't really fault Casey DeSmith on any of the other first period goals, but that first one, you know, who knows how the game goes from there if he's able just to cover it for a whistle.
Yeah, just cover the puck. I mean, look, I think that they were just trying to get it all out and whatever, and there's a scramble play, but, you know, at least try and get a glove on it and not let him poke it loose, and that kind of just was the end, basically, for the Canucks as soon as that one went in. We can sit here and talk so much about, you know, Casey DeSmith and things like that. To be completely honest, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not entirely sure how much better it would have been in a totality if Demko was in net. I say you might make one save, might make two saves, but the chances that Vegas were getting, and they kept coming back relentlessly against the Vancouver Canucks. You mentioned the odd man rushes right off the top. Those aren't stopped by the goalie. Those are stopped by the forwards and the defense letting it happen repeatedly. So I feel like the Canucks did leave their goalie out to dry. Yes, did he have to make some saves? I'm just not entirely sure that we can pin this one completely on DeSmith and say that if Demko were in net, it would have been a whole different game.
No, and yet at one point, Vegas had 4 goals on 8 shots. I don't care who you are.
Exactly.
If you're an NHL goaltender, you look at those kind of numbers, 50% save percentage. That's not getting it done. And yet it's funny, too, when you look at the underlying numbers for this hockey game, according to Natural Stat Trick, the high dangers were 7-5 in Vegas' favor at 5-on-5. Now, they scored a couple of power play goals, and that's a bit of an issue as well because Dallas scored twice on the power play on Thursday. So 2 of the last 3 games... And look, for much of the homestand, we were giving praise to this penalty kill that looks like it's come into its own and got Dakota Joshua back. And, you know, that was a step in the right direction. And obviously he had the big game the other day. That line with Miller and Garland didn't have a whole lot going on here. I mean, really not much from the top of the lineup, not much from the bottom six forward group. And certainly there were struggles for the defenseman as well. That's why we said, this... Yeah, I mean, this close to playoff time, I think it is fair to look at who the Canucks have beaten and who they haven't. And, you know, they've been treading water by beating teams that aren't going to be there in the playoffs. But these teams, like Los Angeles, like Dallas, and now Vegas, and they're going to see Vegas here in Vancouver next week. So they get one more crack at the Golden Knights, who have a 2-1 lead in the season series. And we'll see what kind of redemption the Canucks can get when they get back off this road trip, but they can't worry about, you just got to flush this one. Think about Arizona. You got Los Angeles on Saturday, and then you get a second shot, or a fourth as it is, over the course of the season, fourth and final matchup of the regular season against the Vegas Golden Knights. When I look at some of the other things, too, in this hockey game, when we talk about the fact that Vegas got the jump on the Canucks, I look at the homestand, and we wondered about offense, but we also were saying, like, you know, they're not giving up much. This looks like a team that's starting to dial it in and finding a way to play these games where, you know, you can give up 2, but if you can get 3, you're able to get the results you're looking for. Or if they hadn't given up, well, first of all, they hadn't been down 2-0 in a hockey game since that 5-1 loss to the Kings at the end of February. So this was a new position that at no point on the homestand were they ever down 2-0 in hockey. Remember, early in the homestand, they were jumping on all their opponents in the first 5 minutes. Well, the tables were turned in this hockey game. So hadn't been down 2-0 in over a month, and they hadn't given up 4 in regulation since that loss against the Kings. So a couple of things that we hadn't seen from the Vancouver Canucks in quite some time. And obviously, those were factors in this hockey game. The Canucks got down and just weren't able to claw their way back. What do you make? I mentioned Miller in that line that did some good things against the Ducks. Pettersson and his line with Hoglander and Besser, they get the Canucks on the scoreboard, and some good work by Hoglander getting to the dirty areas. Besser gets an assist. Pettersson doesn't. And Petey stood his ground. I mean, nice screen on the first of the 2 Quinn Hughes goals, and we probably should spend a little bit of time talking about the Canucks captain because he scores 2 of the 3 goals on the night for the Vancouver Canucks. But let's just start with the top 6 forward group, the guys that are supposed to be difference makers. Not a banner night for them, especially when you look at what their counterparts did on the other side.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing, right? When you look at what the other guys went and did. Brock Besser, I mean, what, an assist and a shot on net. JT Miller is going to do JT Miller things, obviously. You know, he shoots the puck a lot. You know you're going to get that out of JT Miller night in and night out. You had 3 shots on net. Obviously, a point there. It's funny because we sit here and do these shows quite often, you and I, Jeff, post-game, and more often than not, people are tweeting us at Rinkwide Vancouver saying, what's up with that 40? And then the ghost emoji and things like this and things like that. Elias Pettersson has 12 points in his last 20 games. Elias Lindholm had 9 in 20, and people were all over him, right?
Yep.
I know the acquisition cost, and I know what the Canucks gave up to get him, but if we're going to throw those type of stones, they got to be thrown at the team's best player, or what he's supposed to be the best player, and that's Elias Pettersson. He wasn't really engaged, to be completely honest. He didn't look too much other than that goal that he scored. Great play along the boards to keep the puck in, and then he comes around and fights for it. But other than that, that was it. And you can't eat on teams like Buffalo. You can't go and do other things like that. And then we can sit here and say, you know, he's back and then this is it. you need to see more. I've said this with you before. I want him to have that monster night. I want him to have the Eichel night where it's seven shots on net, where it's four shots on net from William Karlsson, where it's three or two from Jonathan Marchessault. And it's just not that. I mean, is he playing through something? We'll never know. I mean, I'm sure most people are at this point in time of this season, but it's tough when, you know, a guy that you paid all that money to since the contract, it just hasn't looked good on more nights than not.
Yeah, he had 3 points. He was in on all three goals in the win over Buffalo.
Yeah.
But, you know, those were three of the 7 points he had on the homestand. So you do the math there. That's 4 points over the other eight, and then doesn't get an assist on any of the Canucks goals here. So, yeah, I mean, a point here and a point there, like, they need more. They do. And we know that he's capable of more, and we've seen it at times this year. But, boy, the last couple of weeks, it really has been a spotty performance from Elias Pettersson. Now, he had lots of company in this hockey game, so not necessarily fair to harp entirely on him. But given what he means to the Vancouver Canucks and given what the Vegas Golden Knights got out of their top players, as we said, you're right. I'm with you. Like, I want to see one of those nights where he takes over a hockey game, and we just haven't seen that for far, far too long. So, you know, really the forward group, and you kind of went through it a little bit there, like Brock Besser with a shot on goal. I mean, he had five attempts, but four of them were blocked. So you got to find ways to get pucks through the net. Like, look who did the shooting in this hockey game. Tyler Myers led the Canucks with 5 shots on goal. Carson Soucy had 4. Filip Hronek had 12 shot attempts. Only 3 of them actually hit the target. But, you know, clearly the Canucks were trying to get shots from the point through and then hoping for some of those scrambles that Rick Tocchet has talked about as ways to generate offense, but really didn't happen, although they did do a decent job with the screens. I'll give them credit for that. Elias Pettersson on the power play, you know, midway through that second period, Quinn Hughes with the shot, and Forty standing his ground right on the edge of the blue paint there, and Logan Thompson doesn't see it, and then Hughes, you know, a nice offensive shift, skating around the zone, kind of flings the puck to the net. And it was Teddy Bluger this time, and I thought maybe Bluger had tipped it, but it goes into the books as Quinn Hughes' 2nd goal of the night, up to 15 on the season.
Yeah.
That is a legitimate goal-scoring total for any top NHL goal scorer. And, you know, if there were detractors, and it just has felt for the last couple of seasons like Quinn Hughes has left most of the detractors in the dust, but there were some that would point to the fact that if you want to be considered one of the real big boys in the NHL, you got to be you got to score some goals as a defenseman, playing as much as you do, with the puck on your stick as much as he has. Well, he got to double digits for the first time in his career and now is at 15. And look, 7 games to go, there's a pretty good chance that he adds to that total. But even if he doesn't, to me, like 15 from a defenseman, that is a legit total as a scoring threat in the National Hockey League. So, you know, they don't give out cookies or prizes for 15, but I think it's a nice total for a guy that's had just an amazing season, and there's still more to come.
Yeah, tied for 6th among defensemen with 15 goals. Obviously, Cale Makar leading the charge with 19, but 84 points, right? He's still 3 ahead of Cale Makar just because of all he's in on a lot of goals, and that's what Quinn Hughes does. But my thing about Quinn Hughes in this game is you wanted there to be someone else to drag them into the fight. And on so many nights, we're sitting here talking about Quinn Hughes and the dazzling things that he does and his hockey IQ and the incredible talent that Quinn Hughes is. It just can't be him every single night. And I know other guys have deserved off nights, but when you look at this grand scheme of things and what was at stake, maybe not enough for the Vancouver Canucks, but we build this up as a pretty big game here on this Monday night. Potential first round opponent. These are the type of matchups that you're going to be seeing. The Canucks can only beat up on bad teams and you know, they can't be good teams. Well, they are proving to do that right in front of our eyes more often than not right now. You look at the game against Dallas, against the Kings, and again, Tuesday night against the Vegas Golden Knights where they weren't able to get it done. I mean, I'm happy for Quinn Hughes that he was able to, you know, able to get that goal and pull his team back into the fight, but it also probably sucks for him that he was the only guy that was able to do it. Like, there was no one supporting him.
And then he rings one off the crossbar.
Yeah, it was his hat trick.
Came that close to scoring 3 in the hockey game. And again, I'm not sure that it was going to change the outcome, but it would have been cool at least to see Quinn Hughes get 3 in a hockey game. He gets 2. And so that kind of speaks to what we were saying, that really the defenseman, you know, on the offensive side, it felt like the defensemen were driving the play, but defensively just not good enough for anybody in a Vancouver Canuck uniform, and they go down to defeat 6-3 to the Vegas Golden Knights. And, you know, I can hear the angst in the marketplace. I get it. You and I have been doing this all season long. It was great in the early going, but, you know, as you can see the finish line and sense the finish line to this 82-game marathon, all of a sudden it does feel like the Canucks are kind of limping to the finish here. And so, you know, a big one on Wednesday, because the one in Los Angeles on Saturday, that's going to be difficult. We know the problems the Canucks have had with the Los Angeles Kings all season long. And if you think, oh, well, it's the Coyotes and they've got nothing to play for and 5,000 people and half of them will be Canuck fans. Keep in mind that the Arizona Coyotes have scored 6, 8, and 5 in their last three games. So they have found something offensively at the very least. And if it is Artur Silov's, you know, that could pose a bit of a challenge in terms of what Arizona is able to generate. So no easy games in the NHL, and especially back-to-back. You know, we'll get a bit of a sense of where this group is collectively and, you know, a little gut check, I would suppose, yeah, for the Vancouver Canucks here. They don't want to lose 4 or 5 at this stage of the season with the Edmonton Oilers, who are in Dallas on Wednesday night. The Oilers, you know, trying to reel them in. And the Oilers have had some moments here of late as well where they haven't been at the top of their game. So the Canucks are not locked. They've got their playoff spot locked down, but they certainly don't have top spot in the Pacific. And now if you're Edmonton, you're getting pushed from behind by Vegas. You're still trying to reel in the Vancouver Canucks. So there's lots to play for here with 7 games remaining in the regular season.
No, you mentioned it right there. I mean, the Arizona Coyotes might not have a lot to play for, but they do score a lot of goals. I mean, for the Vancouver Canucks, I still think that they do have a lot to play for, right? You want to be going into your playoffs at your best. And if this opponent on Tuesday night was any indication of what you might get in the first round, they are going to be motivated. They're going to be playing at their best just to get into the playoffs. So you got to find your game and you got to find it quick. Am I worried about the Vancouver Canucks in the next over the next stretch? I don't know, because I still think that they're a good enough team, but there are a lot of alarming signs. And I think that that's one of the things when we started doing these shows here, Jeff, right after the trade deadline, that we looked at and more and more and more. The power play, not so good. Then the PK, not so good. Stars not showing up, not so good. And then you have games like this. Obviously, you're going to get Thatcher Demko back. Elias Lindholm is going to come back at some point. So you beef up your lineup at in that stretch. But when you look at it, like, this team needs to play a lot better hockey.
Well, a little glimmer of hope for them earlier in the day in Vegas when Thatcher Demko appeared in pads on the ice, first time that anybody had seen him in his recovery since that injury against the Winnipeg Jets back on March the 9th. So he can come off LTIR on Saturday. Just the way the week shakes down here, he's not going to play on Saturday against the Kings.
No.
They are into Arizona on Wednesday. Thursday will be a team day off. There'll be a practice on Friday. One practice when you've been out a month and you're a goaltender, haven't seen NHL shooters. I even wonder about the rematch against Vegas on Monday. You know, maybe you get him in there for the Arizona game at home a week from now. We'll see. Whatever the case, it is promising. That's a step in the right direction to see him back on the ice, taking shots from Ian Clark at the very least after the team's morning skate. But that was it for the good news for the Vancouver Canucks, because when nighttime came, it truly was nighttime, golden nighttime. 6-3, they down the Vancouver Canucks. Jeff and Irf with you here. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver. Lots still ahead. We'll get inside the locker room. We'll get our Rinkwide Vancouver 3 stars. We've got the stat that stands out. We'll get a little listener feedback and hear what the people thought of this one. And then we'll wrap things up as well. So 6-3, Canucks on the wrong end of the scoreboard at T-Mobile Arena down in Sin City. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Dissecting a 6-3 Vegas win over the Vancouver Canucks, Jeff and Irv with you here on Rinkwide Vancouver. You heard from us in that opening segment our thoughts as we dove in on all the pertinent topics, I think. Although maybe there's a few others that we'll get to, but we always like to hear from Rick Tocchet, who's been a quote machine all season long. And you can imagine not too thrilled, obviously, with the end result. But more than that, he's all about the process, right? You hear it all the time about his staples and his non-negotiables, and those went out the window early in this hockey game. Here was Rick Tocchet and his assessment of a first period that went sideways on the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, the penalties and then a couple odd-man rushes. It was about four. I didn't think four or five guys were ready to play, and then we had our moments in the second and third, but obviously that first kind of put us behind the eight ball.
All right, some pretty harsh commentary from the head coach there. Four or five guys that just weren't ready to play. Now, it kind of feels like he's learned over the years or over the season not to name names, because he knows that if he does name names, then people run wild with that. But yeah, again, on a night where we outlined the fact that Vegas' top players are just way better across the board than the Canucks' top players, I think it's pretty clear who he's getting at there.
Yeah, and I think he's slowly had the messaging through the media on more nights than not of who the player is. And it's no secret, right? I mean, we both can know. We sit here and talk about it. It's Elias Pettersson,
yeah,
right? There's no secret. Did make a mistake about Elias Lindholm. It's 9-22. Pettersson has 12 in his last 20. So I just wanted to correct that. Yep. But I think that when you look at it for Elias Pettersson, it's just being engaged. I mean, unless he's battling something that we don't know. I mean, he did have that maintenance day earlier, and there was something like that. I mean, guys are definitely playing with injury here, but it's getting up for the game. It's feeling yourself. It's putting yourself into the game, and it's just one of those things where it's just not there. And if something's not working for you on the power play, like we sit here and talked about, we dissected it, you know, they're going to give Connor Garland that shot all day long. If Elias Pettersson isn't finding ways to get open, rework the power play to get him open. He's your best player, probably your best shooter on that power play. So obviously there's a reason why he was pissed off after the game.
Yeah, and we're going to hear another comment that I think is quite telling here, and it's along those lines. But, you know, the other day against Anaheim, like that felt like a night or an afternoon where Elias Pettersson could and should take over. And you mentioned the maintenance day. He skips practice on Saturday. Fine. Irv, he led all Canuck forwards in ice time on Sunday against the Ducks, and he was on the power or on the penalty kill, like out late in the game. So that doesn't jive with a guy that's playing through something serious. I'm with you. After 75 games, a lot of them are playing with nagging various ailments, and we saw Brock Besser leave practice on Monday, and you know he was getting treatment, and so I'm not surprised that that comes to the territory this late in the season. And also, look, the Canucks have had incredible health among their star players all season long. So, you know, should some of them have missed some time, maybe somewhere along the line? Have they played through? Who knows? We're not going to get any answers at this time of the year because, you know, this close to playoff time, everything's going to be in lockdown in terms of secrets and not giving away any information to potential opponents. Whatever the case, there's no doubt Elias Pettersson's got to be better. There are others as well. And this is Rick Tocchet was asked after the game if three losses to playoff teams here in the last four games. Is he getting a little concerned with some of the warning signs he's seeing from his hockey club?
We've got some individuals. They gotta start to have that fight a little bit more will right now. You can't save it. You can't save it for two more weeks. It has to happen now because it's hard to turn it on and off.
And he's not wrong. You can't just flip a switch. Like if players think that they're sort of holding something in reserve here, I'm a firm believer that you want to ramp it up and you want to hit the playoffs at or near the top of your game. And so, yes, Pettersson, you know, Brock didn't have a great homestand. He scored the other day against the Ducks, but that was his first power play goal of the month. We talked about the fact he didn't do a lot in this hockey game. people come out of the game against Anaheim, Dakota Joshua was the hero in town.
Yeah,
I know he had 9 hits tonight in this one, but do you remember many or any of them? And like that line with Garland and Miller, like there can be some expectations that they play well and produce against good teams and not just the Anaheim Ducks. So again, the focus in the market is on Elias Pettersson. I totally get it. And I'm on board with that because he does have to find a way to elevate here and, you know, get engaged, as you said, win puck battles, stay on his feet, all those types of things. But on a night like this one, it wasn't just Elias Pettersson. There was plenty to go around.
Plenty of blame to go around, definitely. I mean, you mentioned Dakota Joshua after the Anaheim game. Everyone was willing to give him the bag. Absolutely. Yeah. It says, get this contract negotiation going. You know, let's sign him to a discount. No, it's just not how it works. And I like your point about flipping the switch and obviously what Rick Tocchet said. If there was a point of them needing to flip a switch recently and get ready for the playoffs, like you lose to LA, you lose to Dallas, you barely beat, you think that Saturday would be the flip a switch game. And if they did, you barely beat the Anaheim Ducks at home.
Needed 2 power play goals to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you didn't flip the switch for this game, when's it going to happen, right? The Arizona Coyotes, we mentioned off the top, they're a team that scores a lot of goals. They're not going to just, you know, lay back and let you take the game to them. They're going to come back there. It's small, but it's their home building. They're going to want to defend it.
Yeah, and Tocchet wasn't happy. He was asked about the high-sticking phantom call on Zadorov and kind of shook his head and said he had mentioned it to Kelly Sutherland, who was one of the referees in this hockey game. But then he said, you know, what can you do? The call's made at that point. But if you watch the replay there, Pietrangelo has been around the block a few times, a bit of a veteran move, but he sells that. And the referee's bit on it. So, you know, the Canucks go 1-for-3 on the power play, but Vegas goes 2-for-4 with man advantage. And as we said, Dallas scored twice for the power play the other day. So an area that looked like it had been a strength for the Vancouver Canucks, maybe taking on a little bit of water here. Whatever the case, special teams, 5-on-5. Vegas just the better team on the night, which brings us to the rink-wide Vancouver 3-star selection. Clean sweep in the building. The 3 stars is selected by various Vegas media. Marchessault, Hanifin, and Jack Eichel. And Noah Hanifin has been a nice addition, made his debut against the Canucks the last time in a losing cause when the Canucks were the better team. They certainly weren't in this one. But, since then, Hanifin has found his way and we mentioned a little earlier, they're 9-3-1 in their last 13 hockey games. So they're charging hard. They're moving in the right direction. They've got their eyes set on reeling in Edmonton for second place in that Pacific Division. I think we'll go Marchessault with the 1-star. He had a goal and 2 assists. He's up to 41. He's one of only 2 Vegas players in history, William Karlsson, in that inaugural season, the other to reach the 40-goal mark. Karlsson had 43, so pretty good chance that Marchessault is going to set a new Vegas record for goals in a season, and he's dialing it in. He's just a fun player to watch. Motor is always running. Had the incredible playoff run last year. So Jonathan Marchessault, the 1-star. I've got Jack Eichel as the 2-star. A goal and assist, 7 shots on goal, and really, Irv, maybe the warning sign was there in the first minute of play when he couldn't convert at the side of the net and lost the skate blade. But
yeah,
you know, we talked about all the odd man rushes that Vegas had and did score on. They came awfully close right there, and that was Eichel, who just couldn't corral the loose puck at the side of the net. He just looked dangerous all night long.
And it's unbelievable. Like, the guy, you go and look up his shot totals and attempts per game, all Eichel does is shoot.
Yeah.
And when you're getting paid that kind of money, you want that from your star player. Same with Jonathan Marchessault, who's going to be a free agent. It's going to be interesting. Hanifin obviously probably got a star, I think, from the Vegas local media. His first as a Golden Knight. That's probably fair does enough. It for them, yeah.
And it was a big goal that, you know, on the power play, they got the opportunity and they put the hammer down. And, you know, at 3-1 with lots of time, the Canucks are still in the hockey game, but at 4-1, that kind of felt like it was curtains on the night. So a little home cooking, whatever the case, no problem there. I'm going to go with the defenseman that scored 2 goals in the hockey game. Again, I thought the effort was there from Quinn Hughes. And when we talked about, he was on the ice for the opening goal. But other than that, I don't believe he was on for any of the other goals that the Vegas Golden Knights scored. So while it wasn't a good night for his hockey club, Quinn Hughes with 2 goals, up to 15 on the season, I thought that the effort at least was there from the captain trying to make some things happen. He had the crossbar too. So I've got Quinn Hughes as the 3-star. Marchessault, Eichel, and Hughes, the 3 stars on this episode of Rinkwide, as the Vegas Golden Knights take the Canucks soap behind the woodshed. 6-3 is the final. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver. Vegas beats Vancouver 6-3. It's Jeff and Irv with you here on Rinkwide Vancouver. Before we get to our stat that stands out and a little bit of listener feedback as well, want to remind you about this event that we've got, a presentation of Canucks Army, Sakaris and Price, Rinkwide Vancouver as well. Coming up on April the 20th, it's a Saturday. It's going to take place at the Hollywood Theater in Kitsilano. Special tribute to our late friend Jason Botchford. It's all presented by Fountain Tire, and it's called Bro Do Your Playoffs. It's a media event celebrating the life and legacy of Jason. It's going to feature memories, special guests, an exclusive performance from the matinee, and a celebration of Vancouver's return to the playoffs, plus the event in support of the BC Mental Health Foundation. Tickets are only $10, so join us on April 20th for a memorable experience. Every ticket purchased contributes to making a positive impact on the community. Get your tickets at nationgear.ca. All right, for me, the stat that stands out is that the Canucks gave up more than four goals for the first time in more than a month. And I think it's important to remember that the DNA of this team is structure, defensive play, and they just got away from it. So I want to give them an opportunity to bounce back. Remember, I mean, one of the stories in the first half of the season was this team's ability to respond, you know, the odd loss, and they would get right back on the horse and look good doing it. And, you know, it's getting late in the day here in the regular season. And so they've got a big one again on Saturday in Los Angeles. But before then, it's into Arizona, the quick turnaround. I would assume Artur Silovs goes, and we'll see what other lineup changes are made. But how do the Vancouver Canucks respond to a drubbing at the hands of the defending Stanley Cup champs as they go into Arizona to take on the Coyotes? So, you know, it hasn't happened often, obviously, and that's the positive spin, I suppose. Not looking for silver linings here, but this one stands as the outlier over the last month just because we haven't seen them break down defensively. But credit to Vegas, I think they had a game plan. They found ways to exploit the Canucks. They got the defensemen up into the rush as well. And once they hit the line with speed, the Canucks just, you know, again, it didn't look like this Canuck team that we have seen of late. So who are the real Vancouver Canucks, I suppose? They're going to have to stand up here soon. Seven remaining in the regular season and then into the games that truly matter. And those are the playoff games. But they've been good about not getting beaten badly and giving up an awful lot. But it happened in this one, and now they've got to respond to it.
It's so funny because some of these losses, look, they're 100-point hockey team. They've had a hell of a season, but we can still sit here and within a week or a little bit over a week where they've had losses to the LA Kings, the Dallas Stars, and now getting their teeth kicked in by the Vegas Golden Knights, sit here and say, I think as some of the people in the fan base said that are responding to us as well, are almost ready to push a panic button on the Vancouver Canucks, to be completely honest. Right. And I just think it's the way that the losses have happened. And, you know, they can go up and beat up on bad teams, too. But even the bad teams are not even beating that bad. So there's definitely some things that they need to work on, and obviously a good opportunity to do it against the Arizona Coyotes.
All right. Let's get to the listener feedback at Rinkwide Van. Always appreciate the contributions and lots of it coming in on a night like this one. 6-3, the Canucks lose to Vegas. Lawai says by having Hoglander, Garland and Joshua in the top six, they've taken away one of their biggest advantages from early in the season where the bottom six was winning matchups. And of course, Hoglander earned the promotion because he scored like 16 of his 23 goals, essentially as a fourth liner with no power play time. And he was doing it against soft matchups. It was an advantage for the Vancouver Canucks. And you take him out of there and they just haven't been able to replace anything close to that. Chris, kind of following on that, says the depth that was so visible in October and November has just vanished completely. Podkolzin and Baines, Amon, Lafferty, Mikheyev, Bluger. You can throw PDG in there, just getting nothing from half the lineup. And it's true. You know, in the playoffs, you go as far as your stars can take you. But the good teams, the stars come through and produce. But there are going to be some nights where they're either held in check or neutralized, or their offense is, you know, the other team's best players kind of match and do the same thing. Where it late in a game or overtime, like, can you imagine a game going to overtime involving the Vancouver Canucks right now and thinking that Teddy Bluger or Pia Suter or Vasily Podkolzin is going to be the hero? Like, it just, to me, it's hard to imagine. And I'm not trying to, you know, get the knives out for those guys. They've had stretches of the season. Like, Podkolzin had that great drive in the second period, went wide on McNabb. Like, that looked like a big time power forward move, but, you know, did he score? Nope. And hasn't scored in this return to the National Hockey League. And so I agree with Chris that, you know, early on in the season, like, you know, guys like Lafferty and Mikheyev obviously got to double digits somehow, but it's hard to sort of process and figure out how exactly did they score 10 plus goals, because they have been few and far between really over the second half of the season. Dr. Canada says, bad start, bad goaltending, need a third and fourth line. Lots of things we can turn around in the final few games. I guess that's the question, though. Can they turn it around? Can you get scoring from your third and fourth line? It hasn't been there over the second half of the season, so is it going to magically appear here with seven games remaining? Smack says, just don't have the maturity and experience to play in high-leverage games yet. Also see only 3 to 5 players on the entire team that can actually drive play. And, like, you know, it's wild to see and hear that now when you think that this team was the highest scoring team in the National Hockey League over the first half and had no problem scoring goals whatsoever in the early going, and they got 3 on the road. And a lot of times 3 on the road is enough to get you something, even into overtime perhaps. But yeah, I mean, goals have been tougher. As they've focused on defense, goals have been tougher to come by at the top and the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah, and obviously that listener mentions, you know, maturity. And I think that if we don't, if, you know, we agree on that fact that the team isn't mature enough, they're going to be in for a rude awakening when they go into some of these buildings in the postseason. I do think that they are beyond that, but I just think that there's a lot of signs of it's just being ready to play. I mean, Rick Tocchet's scratching his head trying to figure it out too, of just guys not being in it and guys not being engaged. I mean, maybe it is a sense of, you know, they're already know where they're going to be in the playoffs. I want to say checked out, but you know, the coach was right when and he even mentioned it. Obviously, we ran the clip about, you know, it's very tough to turn the switch on here, especially in the National Hockey League.
Cali Canucks says, I'm not sure this team's ready for a seat at the grown folks table just yet. These veteran teams are all shifting gears and the Canucks can't find the clutch. There is an element of that right now. We talked about the Vegas record. I mean, the Oilers have scuffled along. They lost to Ottawa, lost in St. Louis, although they got a point in doing that. So, you know, it's not just the Vancouver Canucks. A couple of weeks back, it looked like the Canucks were going to be a 110, 112-point team. It took them a while to get to the 100 mark. They did that on Sunday. But with 7 games to go, how high is the point total? Like, is it going to be 105 or 6 points? Can they get higher than that now? Are they going to need more than that to fend off Edmonton? And what if Vegas runs the table from here on out? Like, is there a chance that Vegas could reel in the Canucks? Probably unlikely. There's probably not enough real estate remaining yet, but Vegas is, they're 8 points back of the Canucks. So the bottom would have to absolutely fall out for the, let's not even go there.
Yeah.
The Canucks can worry about Edmonton and not so much. There'll be time to worry about Vegas. It'll be after the regular season. All right. Final word here from the listener feedback segment. Mick Canuck says, this team cannot handle pressure, adversity, and has no composure. It's been like this for a long time. It's going to be a quick playoff for them, sadly. The adversity thing I will agree with. I think we saw that on the homestand when they, you know, those late second period goals or bad calls by the officials, or at least calls that they felt went against them. And there have been some letdowns along the way. So, you know, obviously the grand plan is to play a perfect 60 minutes. It's not as easy to do as you'd like. But I do think the adversity thing, there's an element of truth in that. Like when it was going good for the Canucks in the first half of the season, you know, they rolled with it. But when there has been some storms along the way here in the second half, you know, like I think of obviously the 10-7 game. They had a 5-2 lead in that game in Minnesota. I think people, you remember the 10, but you don't remember how they arrived at that result. They were up 5-2. And, yeah, you know, they had to show a little more composure there, and they didn't. And then, you know, the rest of that trip into Seattle, they were dreadful there. You know, the 4-0 loss in Boston when we all built that game up, and they kind of rolled over for the Boston Bruins. So, again, come playoff time, you're going to face adversity. You're probably going to be on the wrong end of some calls along the way. You need that maturity. You need your veterans. You need the leadership group, and you need your top players, certainly. And that's why there are 7 games remaining here for them to sort of figure some things out here. But they do have some figuring after losing 3 of their last 4 hockey games. Disappointing night for the Canucks. Again, there was some buildup. I think people wanted to see how are they going to measure themselves against a defending Stanley Cup champ that loaded up at the trade deadline and is starting to roll now. And unfortunately, the Canucks did not measure up at all. So put this one in the rearview mirror, quick turnaround. You and I will be back to do this again on Wednesday after the Canucks take on the Arizona Coyotes. We'll see if it's a different looking performance. Is it a different result for the Vancouver Canucks? This much I know will be the same, that Irf and I will be here to break it all down on the next episode of Rinkwide Vancouver.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.